doctrine. It's easy to get weary. And if we're not careful, we'll look for all the ways to renew our strength. Maybe physically we begin to take vitamins and we begin to maybe drink energy drinks. By the way, there's energy drink. Those things will kill you. Just drink coffee. Amen. That'll be it. And you say, well, they didn't have enough caffeine. Well, drink more coffee. And that's the goal, all right? And but, you know, we do all of that, and we say, well, if I eat healthier, this will happen. And maybe, you know, honestly, a lot of times our physical strength gets drained whenever we are in a spiritual battle. And we get concerned a lot of times about our health, physical health, and we kind of neglect or we don't pay as much attention to our spiritual health. And one of my desires for our church is that we will continue to renew our spiritual strength, would continue to look to God for the help that He can supply us. Let's read some verses. I've got a couple thoughts, and I put some verses in there, and Brother Wendell says that it's 1,673 words, and it's going to be 14 minutes. Okay, so just kind of give you a heads up on that. So that means it ought to be like a mini devotion tonight, 5 or 6 minutes, and we'll be ready to go home. Verse number 26, Word of God says, "Lift up your eyes on high, and behold who hath created these things." You know, you go out into the world, well, right now, if you go out there, you better have hold of something because the wind is blowing in from I don't know where. But when you look out, oftentimes when we look out, we ought to look up. And we ought to thank the Lord for all that He's done, all that He's created. He says, "That bringeth out their hosts by number. He calleth them all by names, by the greatness of His might. For that He," and I've circled this word in my Bible because it's not will be or was, or, but here's what it says. "For that He is strong in power." Can I tell you something tonight? God is strong in power for what you're facing tonight. Not will be. Well, I'll just later on. No, right now He has what you need. "Not one faileth." He says, "Why sayest thou, O Jacob, and speakest, O Israel, my way is hid from the Lord, and my judgment is passed over from my God? Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of His understanding. He giveth power to the faint." I like that. "He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might, He increaseth strength. Even the youths shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall." If you circle or underline words in your Bible, circle the next word in verse number 40 or 31, "but." He goes through all of that. He says, though failure is all around you, though you're tired, though you're weary, He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. Now, the thought there, they that wait on the Lord, it's not like those that just sit and soak and sulk. That's not what the word wait there means. The word wait there is where we get the word waiter or waitress. It's someone that is waiting, serving on somebody else, serving someone else. You and I are waiting on God, but we're serving Him and we're serving others at the same time. The idea isn't that we take our knowledge, we take our toys, we take all of that, and we go home and we just sit in the corner and we wait. No, no, no. The idea is that we serve Him with what we've been given, and He will renew our strength. There's a lot of people that have just quit serving God, and they say, well, God, no, serve God in the way that you know how, and God will lead you where you need to go next. But many times we miss that. Three thoughts tonight, actually more than that, but I'm just going to give you three. How about that? Number one, there's a reality that we need to know. A reality. Here's the reality. Whenever we're guided by the temporary things of the world, whenever we focus on the things that are here and now, we tend to overlook the blessings of the past and the promises of the future. Whenever all I get wrapped up in is what's going on in my life today, aren't you glad that your life isn't what just happened today or yesterday, but it's the sum of all of your years? I preach. I'm the pastor here. I've been here for 17 years. I've been a pastor for right at 24 or 25 years. So each sermon is not just a result of 1 week of study. It's the result of the past 25 or 30 years of study. Whenever you and I talk to somebody and we encourage them and we give them the gospel, it's not that we just learned how to do that this last week. It flows out of everything that we are as Christians. But whenever we get tied up with just what's going on today, I forget the blessings of yesteryear, and then I forget the promises of the future. May we let God speak to us not only now, but may we live for Him all throughout the days. God has not forgotten who you are and what you're going through. He has not forgotten that. You say, but I'm in an unusual situation. You may be in an unusual situation, but God knows exactly where you're at. You read through the Bible, particularly the Old Testament. There were some Old Testament saints of God that were in some unusual situations. I think of one man that was in a lion's den. That's a rather unusual situation. I think of another man that found himself in a cave all along. That's kind of an unusual situation. I find another man that was a man after God's own heart that was fleeing for his own life. That's a rather unusual situation. How about a man that found himself, he woke up in the belly of a whale? That's a rather unusual situation. Can I tell you something tonight? God knows where you're at. And you say, I'm in an unusual situation. Great. God works in unusual situations. The reality for us to acknowledge tonight or to know is this. We cannot allow the temporary setbacks, the temporary troubles, the temporary worries, the temporary sicknesses, we cannot allow those to negate all that God's done in our lives. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God, but even the very hairs of your head are all numbered? Fear not, therefore. Ye are more value than the sparrows. I love sitting in my living room right now. We have a couple bird feeders out on our porch on the rail, and I love sitting there. And Tina and I, we'll talk about the different birds that land out there. They're some of the coolest things. Some of those birds are absolutely beautiful, but the greatest number are sparrows. Those sparrows, they'll come and they'll eat out of the bird feeders, but I'll tell you where the sparrows really are at. They're where no other birds are at. They're in the chicken coop. We'll feed the rooster down there, and we've only got one rooster left. But the screen that we have over the top of that apparently has holes in it that are small enough or large enough that a sparrow can slip through there. And there'll be some days there'll be 15 or 20 sparrows in there eating that corn. And here's the rooster right in the middle of them, great old big rooster, and he's pecking away, eating his food, and all these sparrows are all around him, and he's paying them no mind. You know, if it was a bigger bird, he would destroy them. But every time I go by there and I see those little sparrows in there, I think, God's taking care of those little folks. You know, whenever we think and we see some of those things, we ought to remember, you know what? God's taking care of me too. But here's a reality. Sometimes we forget how good God is when we're going through the temporary trials. Sometimes we faint while we're going through trials. This last week, I was at the doctor, by the way. They've not found anything out yet. I've got a series of tests that I'm going through the next couple of weeks, MRIs and all of that. And hopefully by about the middle of June, we'll have some new things. I have a follow-up appointment then. But until then, I've got some things that are going on. But the nurse was taking blood from me, and she said, I'm going to take quite a bit of blood from you. And she took like 8 or 9 vials of it. And I told her, I said, you know what? I said, you are the best blood sucker I've ever met in my life. She just stuck that right in there with no pain or anything. And as soon as I said that, then she stuck it again and not quite as good as the first time. But she said, Now, do you faint? I said, only whenever I look at it coming out of my arm. And she said, you're doing that right now. I said, yes, possibility I might faint. So I didn't, though. But I have before. But you know, sometimes I faint where I'm going through trials. Sometimes, you know, we just kind of go through and nothing bothers us. And boy, we're just serving God. And then all of a sudden, if we're not careful, something out of the blue will strike. And it'll really knock our feet out from underneath us. If we're not careful, we'll faint. Paul writes this. He says, for which cause we faint not. Though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory. Can I tell you this tonight? Sometimes trials are there to provide opportunities for us to pray. Sometimes God brings a trial into my life and into your life to bring us back to prayer. Luke 18:1 says this, and he spake a parable unto this end that men ought always to pray and not to what? Not to faint. Sometimes trials happen in our life while we are directly in the will of God. I think of the disciples on the boat. They were just going through the boat. Jesus was in the back, sound asleep. A storm happened. A trial happened. Were they in the will of God? Absolutely they were. Well, what did God have for that purpose? He had in that time the purpose so that they would totally rely on Jesus Christ. You know, sometimes God just brings us through a trial so that we'll quit renewing and relying on our own strength and we'll trust Him. Sometimes trials are there to refine us to meet God's ultimate goal for our lives. What's God's ultimate goal for my life and your life? To make us more like Jesus Christ. The Bible says this, for whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son. The Bible says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children, my son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. I'll tell you, sometimes God allows a trial into my life to whittle off some of the Jeff and bring in more of the Jesus. Because He wants me to be more like Christ. Sometimes trials are like that. One of the things that we've got to acknowledge is this, is we fall when we give in to temptation. You and I will never get to the spiritual level that we can face spiritual warfare in our own strength. Never. If we get to the place where we think, I've developed enough good habits, I've done all of this, and we quit walking in the Spirit, guess who is a prime candidate for Satan to attack? We will fall if we give in to temptation. Almost every one of us in this room, we know what that besetting sin is in our life. We know what it is. I know what the devil's going to attack me with. I know it. And I have to be on guard for that. The warfare that we face is very real and it's extremely difficult to overcome, if not impossible to defeat on our own. We must rely on the Spirit of God. The reality is this. We are sinners and we have a bent towards sin. Given the choice, oftentimes, particularly if we're walking in the flesh, given the choice, we'll always choose sin. God, though, has not left us alone. Here's a reality. Philippians 4:13. I can do a few things. Oh, amen. I can do all things. Does that mean the difficult things? Yes. Does that mean the good things? Yes. Does it mean the very impossible thing? Yes. I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. So we need to, first of all, acknowledge this reality. If we're not careful, we'll fall away from God. Here's what he's saying in verse number 27, 29, and 30. He says, listen, I want you to know something. If you don't rely on me, you will fail. Number two, I want you guys to understand this. There's a resource that's available. You say, preacher, this is so simple. Yes, it is. But every once in a while, we need to be reminded of this. We need to be reminded that we've got to go back to allowing God to work in our life. I'm going to tell you something. I believe that God has been good to our church, and He's been good to us as individual members of this church in the last couple of weeks. I sense that God is working in my life, and I sense that He's working in many of your lives too. And all God's people said. But I'm going to tell you something. This is the time where we're vulnerable if we're not careful. This is a time where if we're not careful, we'll quit doing that which brought us to this point of revival. And the devil will destroy everything. We've got to know tonight that there is a resource that is available. A resource, here's an awesome, awesome thought. And I say that because it's not mine, Bryce. I got it from somebody else. A resource is only good if it's used by those who need it. A resource is only good if it's used by those who need it. I read the story of a man that broke down, and this is an old story. A few of you will probably understand this. Maybe Joanne or a few. A man broke down in a Model T. He broke down in a Model T, and he was looking over it, and he was trying to figure out what the problem was. Another man pulled up and walked over offering his help. You know how guys are. You see a broke down car, and all of a sudden, what do you see? You see a broke down car somewhere with a hood up, you'll see three or four men standing around looking at it. Very seldom you ever see three or four ladies standing around looking at it. But you'll see a couple guys that'll be standing around looking at it. Many of them have no idea what they're looking at. But this guy that broke down, he looked over at the fellow that just walked up, and he looked at this fellow and thought, this guy's in a suit. This is some kind of city slicker. And the city slicker asked him, said, hey, you want me to help you? And the guy said, no. And the man with the broken down car told the man in the suit that he had fixed cars before and he did not need his help. The man in the suit put his hands in his pocket, walked back to his car, and drove off. Little did the man know that it was Henry Ford that had just come up to him and offered to help. Henry Ford, by the way, Windows 1 invented the Model T. Okay, all right, just checking. All right. Yeah, so I just want to make sure that we're on the same page. You know what? How many times has God come to us and said, I can help you? And we've said, not now, God. There's a resource that's available. But the resource is only good if you use it. We had three teenagers living in our house at one time. And I remember having this talk with them at different times. This is a stick of deodorant. This is only good if you apply it. Amen. You say, well, you had two girls and a boy. I still had that conversation because I'm going to tell you something. Girls that don't use deodorant smell worse than guys do immediately. And it's like, whoa, don't say wow back there, Amber. Oh, that wasn't you. Oh, that was Mom who said that. Yeah. Never mind. Brother Gary almost got me into trouble just then. Amen. I'm not following your example tonight. Amen. A resource. Say, what kind of resource is he? Look at verse number 26. It says, lift up your eyes on high and behold who hath created these things. You know who our resource is? The Creator. The Creator. Oh, by the way, look at it in verse 26. He says, what's the first word in verse number 26? What is it? Ready? Lift. Lift. If I'm to lift my eyes up, then what am I going to quit looking at? The ground? My problem? I'm going to put my focus where it ought to be. Lift. The psalmist writes, he says, when I consider thy heavens, the work of thy fingers, the moon and the stars which thou hast ordained, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest? The heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. there is something awesome about you and I just lifting up our eyes to the Creator. It doesn't matter what else is going on in your world. Every once in a while, you can just kind of step outside and you can look around and here's what you know. God created that. I can talk to the one that created all of that. And as soon as I look up, I'm getting my eyes off of me. I'm getting off of all my other problems. And I'm looking to the resource that is available. He's not only the Creator, but He's also a companion. A companion that endures. The Bible says He fainteth not, neither is He weary. Have you ever had somebody that just talked to you and talked to you or texted you and you grew weary of that? How many of you people know somebody that comes in and out of your life that whenever they do, you get tired just by listening to them? Amen. It's like, man, oh, there'll be someone to call and I'll get off the phone and Tina will look at me and she'll say, I know who that was. I feel like I've lost 5 years off of my life in one conversation. And then some people, it's like, oh, woe is me. And I get off the phone with them and I think, oh, man, wow, I'm so weary from having that conversation. Aren't you glad there's one in heaven that's never weary? Aren't you glad that there's one in heaven that whenever I come to Him, He doesn't say, again? Really? You're wearing me out. I can remember telling my children, especially AJ. AJ was the talker in our family. In fact, we were riding down the road one day and Ashley looked over at him. They were all little. And Ashley said, AJ, you talk so much you make my ears hurt. And he did. But he talked and talked and talked. Kind of like Ellie does now. I just talks and talks and talks and talks. And you just get weary listening to him. It's like, wow. Okay, but you know, I'm glad that God doesn't get weary of me coming to Him. I'm glad that whenever I come to Him with the same thing that He just doesn't push, that I have His entire attention. The Bible says this, being confident of this very thing, that He which begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. Number three, I want you to see with me, in this passage, a requirement that we need to accept. See, I can read all this other stuff and I identify with much of it. But then verse number 31, here's the requirement. He says, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. I'm going to be the first to tell you that I struggle with waiting. If I am looking for a book that I want to read, and I read and I find it on Amazon Prime and I order it today and it'll be there tomorrow, or I see it on Kindle and if I buy it on Kindle, I can have it right now. Guess which way I'm going? I'm probably going to do both. That way I have the one for tomorrow and this right here just in case. But I have a tough time waiting. I put food in the microwave sometimes and while I'm waiting on that, I'm going to do something else. I'm going to make coffee, which coffee is good, really good. In fact, I'm going to have a cup when I get home tonight. I'm going to have a cup of coffee. You say, you mean you can have a cup of coffee and go to sleep? Absolutely. Absolutely. But here's a requirement. I need to understand that I often forget. I often faint. I often fall. My strength fades away and I grow weary and I grow tired and I often just want to give up. I'm glad to hear that God is there for me. I'm glad to hear that when God is there for me. But then the question is this. Okay, I know that. How does this become a part of my life? How does it fit into my life? How can I make this truth a reality in my life? Number one, learn to rest on His promises. Learn to rest on His promises. You say, where are the promises of God found at? They're contained in the Word of God. Learn to rest on the promise of God. You say, preacher, I know that. I know you know that. I know who I'm talking to. But I know you know that. But the question is, are we living that today? Because if we're not careful, here's what's going to happen. We're going to drift. And we're not going to be where we ought to be with God. And we got to keep going back to the basics. And everything you do in life, in order to get better at it, to excel at it, to make it more a reality in your life, you got to keep going back to the basics. Got to keep going back to those very basic things. I've got to keep going back to walking with God in these very basic areas. And the biggest basic area is this. I've got to read the Word of God. But I've not only got to read the Word of God, I've got to make it a part of my life. I've got to outline some of those promises that God has for me. And the Bible says this. We talked about the resurrection. The Bible says, which He hath promised afore by His prophets in the Holy Scriptures. The promises of God are contained in the Word of God. The promises of God are consistent with His character. The devil's going to whisper in your ear, and he's going to tell you, God's forgotten you. And I'm going to tell you tonight, based on the Word of God, that God has not forgotten you. It's not consistent with His character that He's going to leave you. He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Bible says He's faithful that promised. The Bible says He promised these things before the world began. Here's the truth tonight. Christ is all we need. Isn't that what the song says? Christ is all I need. I was thinking this afternoon, I like that point. What is a verse that says Christ is all I need? And I couldn't come up with one, but I came up with four or five. Let me give them to you. I found in one passage of Scripture that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised Him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. Christ is all I need. If I get a hold of this truth, God has done the greatest thing in my life when He was all that I needed, then He'll take care of everything else. What was the greatest thing? What is the greatest need in my life? To be born again. Christ was all I needed to be born again, right? How about the problem I'm going to have tomorrow at my job? Christ is all I need. How about the problem that I'm going to have with that family member? Christ is all I need. How about that problem I'm going to have with my health tomorrow? Christ is all that I need. How about that problem I'm going to have with my finances? Christ is all I need. The Bible says, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the Scriptures say, whosoever believeth on Him shall not be ashamed. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's salvation for my eternal soul. But I'm going to tell you something. There are times that I need to be saved from my worry. I need to be saved from my anger. I need to be saved from a situation that I've gotten into. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Can I tell you this tonight? Christ is all I need. That's a requirement that I've got to accept. I've got to recognize His promises, but I've also got to recognize His power. He has the power to take care of me. You say, how do you know that? Well, He's not here. He is risen. As He said, my friend, that's power. That I may know Him, Paul writes, and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. Power. And I need to learn to run for His purpose. I need to rest on His promises. I need to recognize His power. And I need to run for His purpose. Whenever I begin to live for me, my life falls apart. Whenever I begin to live for what I want, what I desire, my life falls apart. But whenever I live for Him, I have the greatest joy and the greatest ease of life that I experience. I'm not saying that He makes it any easier. I'm not saying He takes away the hardships. I'm saying that He walks with me through those. And you can have the same testimony. The question is, why do we want to live for ourselves? I need to learn to run for His purpose. The Word of God says this. Wherefore, here, turn to this. I won't have you guys turn anywhere else. New Testament, Hebrews chapter 12. This will be the last place we'll go to. I'm almost finished. Hebrews chapter 12. If I can find it. Philemon, Hebrews, there it is. Hebrews 12. A couple of you guys are looking for it. It's right after Hebrews 11. Right, just to make sure you're awake. Hebrews 12. All right, are you there? Look at it with me in verse number 1. It says, "Wherefore, seeing we also are compassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin which doth so easily beset us. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us." And here's how you do it. This is the definition of faith, by the way. The definition of faith is found in three words in the Word of God. Ready? Looking unto Jesus. You say, what is faith? Looking unto Jesus. Looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Notice, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Steve talked about the cross tonight. Despising the shame. And is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Verse number 3. For consider him that endured such contradiction of sinners against himself. Here you go. Lest ye be wearied and faint in your minds. A requirement that we must accept is this. We've got to learn to run for His purposes. Because if we don't, we'll be wearied and we'll faint in our own minds. We will grow weary in the battle. But we don't have to face a battle alone. God can be our resource for strength. Why? Because He's the Creator. Because He's our companion. But there's a requirement for receiving His help. It's very simple. This is going to be deep theological, okay? Very off the charts. If you want God's help, here's what you've got to do. Ask for it. That's it. But oftentimes we don't. He comes up. Our lives are broken down and we look and we think, He can't help me. Or He's the Creator of the universe. He's my Creator. He's my Savior. The requirement is this. I must learn to run for His purpose. I must believe that His promises never fail. I must realize that He has power to work in my life. And I must learn to live for Him. Renew our strength. You say, well, I'm not broken down today. Yeah, but you will be in the next couple weeks, more than likely. So let's run back to Him. Christ is all I need. Looking unto Jesus. Let's let Him help us. Don't try to do it on your own. We'll fail. Don't let the devil get in on what God is doing in our lives right now. There are souls that need to be saved. There are lives that need to be replenished. And that can only happen if you and I are revived in our walk with God. Because God can use us as a conduit if we'll let Him. Heads bowed, eyes closed tonight.